Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You are listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source, and amateur radio, for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Cheryl, W5MOO, Russ, K5TUX, and Bill, NE4RD.
Well, hello everybody and welcome. You have tuned in to episode number 602 of Linux in the Ham Shack, the most terrific amateur radio podcast on the internet. Thank you for joining us tonight. We have a short topics episode for you. And before we bring you those short topics, we will go ahead and introduce ourselves for the on assignment. Cheryl, W5MOO. I'm Ross, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD.
All right. So we do have some topics tonight. We actually have a topic in all three of the categories tonight, which hasn't happened in a little while. We've kind of had to make stuff up. But apparently people are talking about things and things. So I'll have you start. Why not? Let's do it that way. Then we can read each other's stuff and really screw stuff up.
That sounds like a plan. There you go. This is mine anyway.
It is yours, but it'll flip later on.
So. Okay, I see how you're at. Okay, yeah. Data transmitted via satellite may not be as secure as previously thought. Now, this is just like the radio side of amateur radio, but I thought this topic was pretty interesting. Researchers from the University of California, San Diego, and the University of Maryland scanned 39 of these satellites from a rooftop in Southern California over 3 years. They found that roughly half of the signals they analyzed were transmitting unencrypted data, potentially exposing everything from phone calls and military logistics to a retail chain's inventory. Quote, there is a clear mismatch between how satellite customers expect data to be secure and how it is secured in practice, end quote. The researchers wrote in their paper titled, quote, don't look up, there are sensitional links in the clear on geosatellites, end quote. The findings are also being presented this week at an Association for Computing Machinery conference in Taiwan. The paper's title is a clear reference to the 2021 Netflix movie, used in this case as a metaphor for the satellite's lack of security. Quote, they assumed that no one was ever going to check and scan all these satellites and see what was out there. That was their method of security, end quote. Aaron Schulman of a UCSD professor and co-lead of the study told Wired, quote, they really didn't think anyone would look up, end quote. And the story is over on Gizmodo, and they kind of talked about how cheap it is to get all of the equipment to actually listen to these satellites, which basically you can do with a combination of SDRs and some SDR software. They're saying you could do all this for $750, but that of course included a special antenna, turning, rotor, azimuth and elevation rotor and everything else. But obviously you could do it a lot cheaper with, different kind of antennas for more overhead activity. But Yeah. Who'd have thunk all this free data's out there that you can get for free and, pilfer whatever you want off the satellites because nobody thinks it's, safe. People think it's safe.
But I would have thought they would have figured this out a long time ago. I thought if there's something on the airwaves that somebody's listening to it somewhere, I mean, I can't imagine a lot goes by that somebody hasn't picked up, whether intentionally or accidentally. They say they've been doing this for 3 years and just, eventually came to the conclusion that a bunch of data is either unencrypted or incidentally encrypted and being decoded. I mean, I would have thought you just assume that everything is sort of out there, but maybe not.
Yeah, who knows? There's a whole paper that you can read and you can download and stuff like that. It's all linked in through the show notes through the Gizmodo article. But I'm sure that there wasn't anything like totally mission critical, even though they, you know, tend to say, oh, military logistics. I mean, that could be like supply, you know, or something like that. You know, I doubt it's like military movements and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you never know. Maybe those trucks carrying the ICBMs are, you know, that is out there. Who knows? So
that could be, I guess.
So moving on to Skywarn, interesting sort of segue there. Skywarn Recognition Day 2025 canceled. Oh, no. NOAA's National Weather Service has announced the cancellation of Skywarn Recognition Day, SRD, CERD 2025. The necessary time and resources required to plan a comprehensive national event for Skywarn Recognition Day are not available this year. I wonder if that's something to do with the government shutdown or just general government craziness right now. Is NOAA even part of the government? I guess it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Technically, but like normally Skywarn is, I mean, they're normally, the stations are operated by Ares groups and Races groups and stuff like that. So I'm not quite sure, but go ahead and continue.
Yeah, I mean, the organization is government, but it's like volunteer stuff on the amateur radio side. Thus, the difficult decision was made to cancel this year's event by the National Weather Service. The NWS will work with the ARRL and Skywarn spotters to brainstorm ideas to redevelop a spotter appreciation event in 2026. Yeah, Skywarn was the whole reason for my repeater frequency change. So the NWS ARRL SRD. Okay, I'm going to try this. The Nuzarl CERD National Committee extends its appreciation to all Skywarn volunteers for their dedication and service to their communities and offers best wishes for a safe and happy holiday season. So what did they do in previous Skywarn recognition days? What was that all about? I am not familiar with this.
You know, I've participated in it. I've gone down to the NOAA office and, you know, we had, you know, basically hooked up the amateur radio gear to the antennas. They have one at our NOAA. They actually have a Kenwood TS-2000 plugged into one of their, you know, military all band antennas. And I think we had another antenna out there that we hooked up in the conference room to another radio. And basically you just work other Skywarn stations and people work you. And it's kind of like an activity day. Recognizing, of course, Skywarn volunteers and, you know, amateur radio services, I guess, amateur radio emergency services, the Ares from the ARRL.
All right, very good. Well, unfortunate that they're not having one this year. Hopefully it'll come back around in 2026 and all the Skywarn folks can reparticipate. And maybe they can use the frequency that I had.
Yeah, that you gave it to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, they gave me one back. It wasn't, you know, it was only a minor cluster. So anyway, have fun with the next one.
Yeah, this one's long. Jeez.
Well, you should have seen what it was before I cut it down. So I think we can get through it.
Okay, we'll try this out. The WIA announces sweeping band plan audit. The last major revision of the Australian National Amateur Radio band plans administered by the WIA, which is the Wireless
Institute of Australia.
Okay, Wireless Institute of Australia. We have Darren here. He should be the expert at this. Was carried out almost a decade ago. Yeah, that, he says. At that time, major changes were mostly made to the 30-meter, 2-meter, and 70-centimeter bands. With the various changes to the amateur radio regulations since that time, including some spectrum losses and gains, it is now necessary to update the band plans to both reflect those regulatory changes as well as update them with information on current centers of activity. The WIATAC... Jeez, the WEATAC, committee has reviewed each band and made recommendations for changes where appropriate. Areas being addressed include better highlighting centers of activity for various modes, particularly AM and emergency call channels on the HF bands, reviewing band plans versus current on-air practice to see if better alignment can be achieved. The examples there are 630 meters, 160 meters, and others. Revising bands where new spectrum access has been obtained. This is the lower 2 megahertz of 6 meters for standard calls. Revising bands where spectrum has effectively been lost. This would be the upper 200 megahertz of the 9 centimeter band. Provisions of alternate narrow band segments on 13 and 9 centimeters to help with adjacent band interference scenarios. Adding new segments for new areas of interest, that's FM repeaters on 13, 9, 6, and 3 centimeters, and much, much more. The consultation process includes releading of the paper, consultation responses, clarification requests, and additional discussion. The consultation will remain open to receive responses up until December 12th. Responses will not be published. However, they will be used as input to the outcomes and recommendations paper. A final revised Australian Amateur Service Band Plan will then be published by the end of the first quarter of 2026. Your input is valuable, so now it's time for you to have your say. And of course, this came from WIA, the Wireless Institute of Australia. And there's other links in the show notes here for you for the committee documentation and the feedback template that they're expecting.
And our resident Aussie is annoyed that they're not increasing power limits. So,
what, any more than 5 watts? What?
He said max 400. So,
oh, well, yeah, you got to turn those big boy amps down. Of course, they probably never do. How often do they come audit your station?
Well, they probably don't want to drive out to where he is because he's, I
mean, especially his station. Yeah, exactly. He's running like 10,000 watts out there.
Yeah, until it catches somebody's roof on fire, they probably don't care. So.
What is this rhombic doing out in the middle of nowhere?
Anyway, all right. Well, that's our amateur radio stuff for tonight. Let's move on to open source. The first topic we have here is, did Qualcomm kill Arduino for good? I saw some discussion about this in the Discord earlier this week. So let's talk about it. 6 weeks ago, Qualcomm acquired Arduino, and we know from acquisitions prior that that's always bad news. The maker community immediately worried that Qualcomm would kill the open source ethos that made Arduino the lingua franca of hobby electronics. This week, Arduino published updated terms and conditions and a new privacy policy, clearly rewritten by Qualcomm's lawyers or their AI. The changes confirm the community's worst fears. Arduino is no longer an open commons. Becoming just another corporate platform, the new terms read like standard corporate boilerplate, mandatory arbitration, data integration with Qualcomm's global ecosystem, export controls, AI use restrictions. For any other SaaS or SaaS platform, this would be unremarkable. I also saw something about the fact that like anything you did with an Arduino that was like published became property of Qualcomm, something like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard someone say it. So, or maybe it's coming up. Did I read ahead?
Probably did, maybe.
I probably did. The most dangerous change is Arduino now explicitly states that using their platform grants you no patent licenses whatsoever. You can't even argue one is implied. This means Qualcomm could potentially assert patents against your projects if you built them using Arduino tools, Arduino examples, or Arduino compatible hardware. Yes, in fact, that is what I just said. And here's the disconnect, baffling makers. Arduino's IDE is licensed AGPL. Their CLI is GPL V3. Both licenses explicitly require that you can reverse engineer the software, but the new Qualcomm terms explicitly forbid reverse engineering the platform. This came from the Molecularist, and why do I see lawsuits? I mean, yeah, there
could be some problems.
Yeah, I think there may be some headbutting going on here with Qualcomm. So, yeah, apparently if your company ends with com, you just like to quash all innovation. So, and you don't like open source. So, yeah, because there's this other one that starts with a B and ends with com that did the same thing with another major project. I guess I won't say too much more about that, but let's just say they got enough pushback that they sort of reversed themselves a little bit. Yeah, so
have you been following the HVAC thing as well with Intel?
No. Well, I've heard about it, but I haven't really dove into it. So.
Yeah, I was going to include it, but it's not really open source to begin with, but it's just another one of those things. It's like, come on. You know, this is like H.264 all over again.
Darren says, so GitHub stuff you publish is theirs. I think that's the worry. And again, I can see some legal battles originating from this move. So I guess we will watch the Qualcomm drama unfold and see whether or not everyone is going to flock to the next Arduino-like hardware that's more open. Because with open things, you know there's other stuff out there. But everyone loves the Arduino. That's all you ever hear about. Anyway, more about that coming up, I'm sure. I know this one's not going to die easy. So, all right. You hit the next one.
And speaking of dying, here's a postmortem. Postmortem of the Zubuntu download site hack. Elizabeth Joseph et al. Right. That sounds like a lawyer. Dear community, quote, dear community, as you may have heard.
I did that, by the way. That was me editing because okay. I didn't want to put all their names in there. So
yeah, bunches of peoples. Quote, dear community, as you may have heard, for a short period of time back in October, our download site at zubuntu.org/download was serving a malicious zip file instead of the torrents users expected to download. This was caused by a malicious actor gaining access by brute forcing a vulnerable component of the WordPress installation that Canonical maintains for the team. Once they had access, they were able to inject code that changed the download links. If you downloaded or opened a file named, quote, zubuntu-safe-download.zip, doesn't sound suspicious at all, from the Zubuntu downloads page during this period, you should assume that it was malicious. I would too. We strongly recommend scanning your computer with a trusted antivirus or anti-malware solution and deleting the file immediately. Your currently installed version of Zubuntu was never at risk. Still, this is obviously a serious breach of trust, and all of us on the Zubuntu team are incredibly sorry for the impact it caused. We've decided to switch to Hugo, a static site generator, written in Go, which will completely eliminate the type of attack vector taken advantage of. We will launch soon. As we launch our new website and close in on our next long-term support release in a few months, we're excited to see our project continue to move forward with your support. End quote. And, of course, this came on the Zubuntu users' mailing list.
Yep. I had not actually heard about this, and I just saw it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. I didn't know. And the first thing that's, you know, the first capitalized word in that thing that stuck out to me was WordPress.
Was yeah. Like, the bane there's of never been a problem. Existence.
There's never been a bug in WordPress. I don't know how this could have happened. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm slowly thinking like anything I've done in WordPress needs to be static site.
Yeah. Like,
just, I only make it WordPress for other people to use it. I don't need it.
Right.
But it's like, you know, you need to have something so that, you know, the mere mortals can create dynamic websites. This kind of, I almost put another story that would have been along the same vein, and that's the recent NPM attacks with malicious software as well. It's just running rampant. And with all the AI slop, it's hard to tell the difference between AI slop and malicious code.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still guilty of using WordPress myself. I probably should work on another framework or just build stuff using like Bootstrap or something and just get away from it. But you know, it's hard to move on, especially when you have very limited time in your day. But
yeah, no kidding. I do like Hugo. It's really nice. And I've also used Jekyll, which is also another static site generator. I think Jekyll's written in Ruby. I'm sure somebody will correct me if I'm wrong. And Hugo's written in Go. But they both basically eject just a static website that you just push right up to your Apache or whatever you're serving your site with, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, I know we've mentioned Jekyll before. There was some talk a few months ago, I think, about this whole static website generation as opposed to using, you know, web-based frameworks. And
yeah, we might have done a deep dive on it.
Yeah, we may have.
Okay, I'm pretty sure we did.
Yeah, probably. You would have done that one because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure I did. If I didn't do it as a deep dive, we probably could.
Speaking of deep dives, the next deep dive we do, can you do one on VS Code?
Oh, I guess.
I would. I'm using Code OSS, which is, you know, VS Code basically.
Oh yeah, the open source version, the less Microsoft version of it.
Right. And I would really like to know some things like tips and tricks and cool things that it can do. I mean, I can use it out of the box,
yeah.
But I would like to know some of the inside stuff. So
the cooler things. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we did the Jekyll deep dive. It was episode 567. So not too many ago.
Yeah. Very good. Oh, and by the way, Hugo being written in Go, who'd have thought? It's Hugo.
Yeah, it could be like, you know, Hugh Erm or Hugh Pie or Hoopy.
All right. Well, we have one more. We have one more story, and this is in our Linux in the Ham Shack segment. So this is we talked about another feature that DXLook released a couple of months ago. I think it was about personalized data that you could use in DXLook. Well, they have a new feature, real-time view, giving amateur radios operators the ability to watch HF propagation unfold live, second by second, anywhere in the world. If you've ever wanted to see where signals are being heard right now or track a band opening as it happens, this view makes it possible. Real-time view connects to live reports from PSK Reporter and instantly displays digital mode activity, including FT8, FT4, and more, as colorful arcs showing real signal paths across the globe. Real-time view focuses exclusively on digital mode, so you'll see real-time data from live transmissions. No models, no predictions. It's perfect for testing antennas, chasing DX, or simply exploring what's happening on the bands right now. Visit dxlook.com, select real-time from the view menu, and click go. You'll see HF propagation come alive within seconds. Yeah, it came from Amateur Radio Daily, which actually got it from somewhere else, I'm sure.
But well, the DXLook site. They actually have a blog post.
Well, there you go. And I did link to the DXLook site as well in the show notes. So either way, you'll be able to find it. DXLook's a pretty cool site anyway. I use it periodically when I want to check on band propagation and such.
Yeah, just another overlay
on. It's like a DX Heat, DX Look, all the stuff that overlay on PSK Reporter and other reporting sites. So,
yeah, I'd say like the you know, bringing everything together, the amalgamation of both the spotting and then also the PSK Reporter, you know, eliminates you having to have several things open and looking at it all at the same time. So that's kind of a convenient tool, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. I dug around looking to see if we had any feedback on our various social media platforms or via email, and I didn't find any. So that means we did not have any feedback for this time around. Might have something to do with the fact that it was the last episode yet. I am going to work on that. Things are a little busy around here, but I'm doing my best. So we do have some announcements, or an announcement, the usual one. If you can help us out, please support the show using Patreon, PayPal, buying some merch, or hitting us up over on YouTube. If you want to see what the future YouTube content that comes out, and we'll keep working on that. You said you had some like a project or two in the pipeline for posting on YouTube.
I do. I was assuming I'd probably get back to that while we had our winter break. Whenever we decide that starts, I'll probably go back and refocus on that, since I'll have like my Sunday nights free. You know, I'll basically just be putting videos together that I've already recorded and haven't compiled.
All right, very good. So look out for more content on YouTube. Yeah, we'll be off for almost a month. I think December 14th will be the last show, and then January 14th or 16th or something, whatever week that is, will be when we come back. Maybe we can push out some stuff in the meantime.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
All right, very good. And that brings us down to our new subscriber supporters and live participants. We didn't have any new subscribers or Patreons. We did have a new free Patreon, Zach Winchester. Didn't see anybody join us over on X. Nobody on Instagram. Nobody on Mastodon. Had a bunch of people show up on Discord, so that's great. Love expanding our Discord community. We had Freak Fox, N3PPH Bob, Tim. They call me Tim. William Smith, Gary KC5CMB, Iros, and Phil VK6DEV. So welcome all. Over on Blue Sky, we had VA3WEB join us. On the mailing list, Jerry Weiss signed up, so thanks for checking us out over there. And we also had in the live chat tonight, Darren VK6EK and Mike K6GTE. So thanks for joining us live tonight. Well, with that, I see chat. Perhaps you could pass it on to the Australian government. They spend $96 million on their weather website. It's significantly less capable than what it replaced. Well, would you expect any less, honestly?
It's probably ran by WordPress too, right?
Or it's just AI-generated code. You know, somebody paid $96 to have an AI write something.
Well, $96 million.
Or, sorry, 96 million. And that's 96 million Australian, which is what, 200 million American or something like that. So
I don't like $5. No,
no, that can't work. All right. Anyway, thanks for everybody for tuning in tonight for episode number 602 of Linux in the Ham Shack. We really appreciate you listening, and we'll let you get back to whatever it was you were doing, and hope you have a great week, and we'll join us for our weekender the next time around. And in the meantime, we're going to get on out of here. We'll catch you all very soon. This has been episode number 602 of Linux in the Ham Shack, and for the on assignment, Cheryl, W5MOO, I'm Russ, K5TUX.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Live recordings are Sunday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. Our homepage can be found at lhspodcast.info. You can support the podcast via Patreon at patreon.com/LHS podcast. We're also on Discord, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Mastodon. Contact us via email at info@lhspodcast.info or via voicemail at 1909-547-7469. That's 1909-LHS-SHOW. We also have merch. So until next we meet, remember to always heed your hedonism.